Good morning, Wiley Methodist Church and friends. Welcome to our online audience as well. Are you guys excited to be here this morning? Are you excited that there's no ribbons marking off pews this morning? Woo-hoo! I know some of you, I saw the relief on your face. It's like, I can sit in my chair now. Creatures of habit. If you are able, let's stand and worship together. By the way, I'm not Trevor Dixon. Trevor is on call this weekend. I wasn't sure Billy was going to be here, so you get me. Father, we thank you that you are a good God. We thank you that you love us. I thank you for this group of believers that you've assembled this morning, for every home that's watching this morning. We pray that you would send your Holy Spirit. We pray that the name of Jesus would be high and lifted up, and that our hearts would be stirred and our hearts would be changed. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
This little guy, this little doe. Now, if you saw this doe in a field, and on the one side you saw a herd of deer, and on the other side a herd of horses, would you know who this doe belonged to? You'd know it belonged to the herd of deer, right? Well, I also have two apples. And you can look at them and tell they're different, but you know they're both apples. And you know, you look at this, and I'm wondering, if you had a whole field of trees, would you be able to tell which tree each one came from. I think you would, because a red delicious apple, you would look for a tree of red delicious apples. For the Granny Smith apple, you would look for a tree of Granny Smith's. You would not look for the Granny Smith apple on the red delicious apple tree. You wouldn't find one. So I got to thinking, how do people know that you and I belong to God's family? Because if we look at each other, we look awfully different. Our hair's a different color, brown, blonde, red. Our eyes are different, green, blue, brown, different skin color, different heights, different ages. And what you find is that it is answered in 1 Samuel 16:7, and it says, "The Lord does not look at the things that man looks at. Man looks at outward appearances, but the Lord looks at the heart." So to know that we and other people can see that we are God's family, they need to look at our heart, and they do that by looking at our actions and our words. So I came up with a few to help you think along those lines. People who are in God's family, they are giving. They read the Bible. They find it quite enjoyable, actually. A grateful spirit. We go around and we're grateful for what we have. And we have to demonstrate that and show it. We help others. God wants us to notice each other and to help each other when there is a need. We love Jesus. He is so very important to us. We must make sure others know how important Jesus is to us. We are to be humble. This is one we all work on regularly. But we need to be humble in our abilities. We praise God. We praise God in our suffering. We praise Him in our joy. No matter what we do, we praise God. Sharing. Kids, we share our toys, we share our games, we share everything that we have with other people. Forgive. We are supposed to forgive people who hurt us. We are to work at it if we have trouble finding the forgiveness. That is what we are supposed to do. Caring. We are to care for each other. We are even to love and care for our enemies. And loving. We are to love everyone. Whether we think they're wonderful people or not, God thinks they're absolutely wonderful and beautiful. And we are to love every single one. So, in doing this, earlier on our Facebook page, I suggested making a blessing board at home. And I'd still like to encourage that. I want you and your families to notice these characteristics in each other and write them down on a piece of paper. Notice when your big sister does something nice for you. Write it down and put it on the board. Notice when your brother does something nice for you and is showing good behavior and is kind. Parents, notice when your child is being nice to their sibling. We know even babies, they show us loving by leaning their heads against our shoulders. Write that down. Little sis showed me love when she laid her head on my shoulder. We need to recognize our parents, too. If you see your parent reading the Bible, write a note to your mom and dad. Say, "You read the Bible. I noticed that. I know that benefits me." If you see mom making supper, say, "Thank you. I'm grateful you are making my meal, Mom." Do this. And then at night, I want you to read them out loud so that everyone can see and notice where they are showing God's characteristics, and notice when other people are showing God's characteristics. These are things we work at and improve on all the time. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we are so very grateful, Lord, that you have called us to be members of your family. It is by being a member of your family that our hearts are changed and more holy characteristics begin to define who we are. Help us grow in these characteristics so we look more and more like Jesus every day. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, good morning, church. Good morning, online community. God bless you. Pray that you feel blessed in your homes this morning. Jeff sent out an email yesterday, his weekly email, and he alluded to the survey that was taken this week. Thank you so much for participating in that. And looks like overwhelmingly families with young children that would be in the nursery or children's church are ready to get back into some kind of normal routine. And so next Sunday there will be a nursery available. There will be children's church available with some modifications there. We still want to be safe, and so you'll hear more about that this week. As far as adults that do not have children in children's ministry or youth ministry, about 50% are wanting to get back into some kind of sense of normalcy in regard to small group ministries, and the other 50% wants to wait. So we're going to hold off on making a decision about that for a little while and see what changes. So look for information this week about how children's church is going to work and how the nursery will function next Sunday. Brent informed me that they're in need of male volunteers, desperately in need of male volunteers for all camps this summer. So if you want to be involved in that, just contact Brent and he will plug you in somewhere. Let's stand and recite the Apostles' Creed together. We believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Go ahead and be seated, please. I was thinking about our prayer time this morning, and I'm almost certain there are some people who are struggling in some form or fashion. I was thinking about Jesus' ministry, and not everything he did was recorded in Scripture. I think it was John that said if everything that he did was recorded in Scripture, there wouldn't be enough books in the world to hold all of that. But we see a lot of the miraculous things. The healings, the raising people from the dead, you know, setting people free from demonic oppression and possession, and taking just a couple loaves of bread and some fish and just creating more food out of that. But I just wonder what else he might have done. You know, I was thinking about Scripture that he referred to when he, went into the synagogue on the first Sabbath after he was baptized by the Holy Spirit. And he said in Isaiah, he read in Isaiah 61 that the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on him because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, and that's not really recorded in Scripture, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance for our God, to comfort all who mourn. Jesus came to comfort. I wonder what he did. What that might have looked like in his day as he walked around and did ministry. Did he just talk to people, encourage them, and pray for them? To bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. I'm almost certain people were in despair when Jesus did ministry as he walked on the face of the earth. And I think he might have just touched and encouraged, prayed for, say, hang in there, it's worth it. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. So this morning, I would like to pray for anybody that is struggling in any fashion, physically, emotionally, spiritually. And I'm just going to ask you, if you want prayer this morning, just to stand. We're not going to come and lay hands on each other this morning. Let's be safe as we do this. But if you need prayer for anything, just stand up, and we'd love to pray for you. Standing for a friend. Anybody want to stand for a friend or a loved one? Thank you. Anybody else? I'm not assuming that because you're sitting, there's not an issue going on. I'm not going to assume that. But anybody else need prayer? All right, church. If you feel comfortable, just extend your hand one of these directions, and let's lift them up. Let's lift them up to the Lord. Father, I love you. And more importantly, you love me. You love us. And the only reason that we can love is because you first loved us. And you love these people that are standing. You love those that are seated. But Father, there's something going on in lives of people in here, whether they're standing or whether they're seated, that they need a touch from you. And Jesus, I just think about you. I try to imagine what your ministry looked like when you walked on this earth, how you walked through a crowd and you would see somebody weeping. And I can just imagine you going over there and touching them, encouraging them, saying words directly from the Father's heart. And your ministry continues this day through the power of the Holy Spirit. So, Holy Spirit, would you speak whatever words need to be spoken into the hearts of those who are standing, those that are struggling, those who may have remained seated but that are struggling in some fashion. Would you speak to their hearts the very words that they need to hear this morning for your glory? And those that are standing for friends or maybe standing for loved ones, God, if they need to be involved in ministry in any way, would you give them encouragement? Would you give them direction? Would you give them wisdom? Jesus, we absolutely trust you. The Father absolutely trusted you. He continues to trust you. And we trust you. Even though things look like they're chaotic, maybe things look like they're out of control, but you know it all, and so we trust you. Father, as we continue to move toward what church will look like in the future, I just pray for wisdom for us. I pray for safety in this house, Lord. I pray against the spread of the virus in this house, in this community. God, would you move in power? And I pray against the fear and the despair that is caused in people's hearts, the uncertainty about the future. Lord, I stand against that in Jesus' name. Lord, I lift up our brother Larry Young this morning as he brings the word. I just thank you for he and Rebecca, you bringing him to this fellowship, being so faithful to them all these years. And Lord, we're blessed to have him. So Lord, I pray that you just give him confidence and courage as he brings your word this morning. Father, we love you. God, I just thank you for this time. God, just do something astounding in our midst this morning. Surprise us this morning by your goodness. And we pray the prayer of Jesus you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and glory forever.
Few things I wanted to mention. Billy mentioned next week things are going to change. We're going to open some things up. Also, if you are visiting with us this morning, we're doing the best we can to try to get to know people through this virus time, but would love to meet you after the service. I'll be out in the foyer down at this end, and would love to meet you if you are visiting with us. We're glad that you are here. Billy also mentioned Larry Young. Raise your hand over there, Larry. Larry's going to bring the word today. Larry is a retired pastor of 42 years? 33. Only 33? Somebody, who's 40? That's Marv, I think. Marv's got you beat by about 10. But Larry and Rebecca, their daughter Taylor was a member of our church and married Brandon Mackin. So now it is Taylor Mackin. But they, one of the many relationships that our church helped foster. You know, we should get some credit for that. I mean, if you like Brandon, we should get some credit for that. Larry is, I'm excited to hear the word from Larry this morning. And we are going to worship some more. If you, we're going to worship through our offering. Did you know that offering is a worship? Is worship? So I invite you in just a moment. We're not passing the plates. We've got the plates up here that you can bring your offering in that way. Also, many of you I know are doing the online giving. We thank you for that. And also for our online live stream folks, we have our Wiley Methodist app. We have our WileyMethodist.org website that you can give through that. Also, you can just mail a check to the church. You guys have been incredibly faithful through this time, and it is a blessing. So let me pray for the offering, and then we will worship as we partake in the offering. Lord, everything we have is yours. I was reading this week, Lord, that we should take inventory of what we have, and we should use what we need, and we should look to bless others with what's left. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would bless the givers of these gifts, and that you would further your kingdom. Just reminded just this very week, there'll be several of us are going to go and help a lady that her home is in very poor repair. We're going to replace some windows and put in an air conditioner. And Lord, she has bricks holding up her kitchen sink. And Lord, that's the sort of things that you have called us to be a part of. And it is an honor and a privilege to be part of your hands and feet to this this community. Lord, bless this offering in Jesus' name. Amen. You're invited to come and bring your offering forward. Remember
Well, good morning, church. It is a high honor for me to bring the word to you today. I don't know if you knew this, but pulpits in Methodist churches are completely under the control of the appointed pastor. Don't laugh. This serious business. It's very serious business. It is said, I'm not positive how true this is. I've never known anybody to test it. But it is said that if a bishop wants to preach in a pulpit, that bishop must get permission from the pastor. Now, if the bishop calls, Jeff, just say yes. Okay, we'll avoid a lot of trouble. All right. If you'd like to turn in your Bibles, we've got we're going to look at three passages, and I want to lay them all out in the beginning, and then we'll move on with where they take us. So the first scripture is Psalm 27, 13 and 14. Psalm 27, 13 and 14. This is David speaking when he says, I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Take heart and wait for the Lord. Now we're going to turn over to 2 Corinthians 12:9. Passage you're familiar with. It's important to where we're going today. 2 Corinthians 12:9. But he said to me, Paul talking that Jesus said this to him, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. And therefore I'll boast all the more about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest in me, on me. And then finally, let's turn to Galatians 5. Another passage you're familiar with, but it's important for us to visit it today. Galatians 5, 22 to 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now, I want you to just hold on to those passages. I want to reread to you Psalm 27, 13 and 14, but I'm going to read it from the Amplified version of the Scripture. I look at a lot of different, most preachers look at a number of versions when they're putting messages together, but this just really stood out. So King David is saying, what would have become of me had I not believed that I would see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living? Wait and hope for and expect the Lord. Now be brave and of good courage, and let your heart be stout and enduring. Yes, wait for and hope for and expect the Lord. We need to be on the lookout for all that God is doing for us. How important it is that we say, thank you, Lord, for what He's doing. And you and I are living in a time when there is so much trouble that it is easy to fail to see the goodness of God. Because God is at work. God is at work. And we need to see His goodness, not just in the Spirit, but in this life. God is doing great things in your life. Now, and here's the good part. He's not finished. It is His desire to bring miracles into your life and His power into your life. And He wants to do that every single day of your life. I believe that we need to understand the fullness of God's grace. We need to understand that no matter how bad things get, I mean, we come through this coronavirus and it sweeps the whole world. And then in our nation, we begin to see riots and all these other things. It just seems to multiply. My friends, let me tell you something. It may look like the devil's winning, but he is not. It is the power of God to us that is going to win. It is the power of God in this life. That's why David asked the question. David asked the question, what in the world would have happened to me? What kind of condition would I be in? What pit would I be in had I not believed I would see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living? I tell you, this phrase, the land of the living, has captured my imagination. It is about now, my brothers and sisters. It's about now. Now, you and I spend a lot of time in church talking about what heaven will be like. That's great. There's not a thing in the world wrong with that. Heaven is awesome. But we are not in heaven yet. We're still on earth right now. And I believe that the human heart yearns to see something good happen to us now. I believe our hearts long for the day when unity and hope and peace and joy sweeps our nation. And friends, it's going to begin. If it's ever going to begin, it's going to begin right here. It's going to begin in our hearts. You see, David said that he believed he would see God's goodness while he was still alive, not just when he went to heaven. And I believe that this is what you and I need to think about. We need to say, Lord, we know heaven's going to be great. You say, no tears, no pain, no suffering, only the presence of the Lord. How great is that? I've always had a fascination with angels. I think we're going to see about a billion or something. I don't know how many there are, but I know there's a lot, and I know they all serve the Lord. It's exciting to think about those things. I know that I'm going to heaven. But I do not believe that the Lord placed us on this earth just to try to muddle through life until we get to heaven, waiting for heaven to have some joy. That is not what the Lord intended. Will we have joy? Of course. Make no mistake. Heaven is one of those things that is all it's cracked up to be. It's joyful, wonderful, glorious, light, no darkness. Hallelujah. But there's something about this life. We've often heard the verse I'm going to share with you. And I mean, we've all heard it dozens of times. It's John 10:10. Jesus begins this verse by saying, "The thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy." When you and I watch the 6 o'clock news and we see people destroying property, we see people fighting against each other, we know where that comes from. It is Satan himself. When we see marriages in trouble and addictions coming in people's lives, we know who's responsible. I've heard this phrase all my adult life, that the devil has come to kill, steal, and destroy. And we can recognize the enemy by his actions. And it's important to do that. I like what Corrie Ten Boom, I don't know if you've read any of her books, The Hiding Place. She's written several other books. A fantastic saint of the Lord who's gone to be with the Lord now. But she used to say, it's a poor soldier who doesn't recognize his enemy. That's right. That's good. We need to know what's going on. But here's the problem. The problem is John 10:10 has two sentences in it. We seem to only hear the first. Jesus had something to say in the second sentence of John 10:10. The verse goes like this. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full until it overflows, Jesus would say. Until life would overflow. The Lord wants us to have abundant life right now, today. And one of the worst things that we can do is to fail to live the lives that we can enjoy. You see, David said, look, I'm going to make a decision. And that decision is a decision that you and I need to make. A decision to enjoy life while we are still in the land of the living. While we're still on this earth and in this life. Because you know that when you're living for the Lord and in the Lord, no matter what trouble comes, His blessing, His giving to us, His goodness overcomes all of that. I believe, I want you to listen to me now. I believe that we need to have so much fun in this life that the devil gets frustrated at our joy. I believe that we can do that, that we can rise above with the Lord's help. And I want to encourage you. I mean, you're my church family. We're all, you know, I keep seeing this thing on TV where people keep saying, well, we're all in this together. And I'm going to tell you, from what I'm seeing on the 6 o'clock news, we're not all in this together. But I believe that you and I are in this together. And praise the Lord for that. But I want to encourage you to be like David and believe that you will see and experience God's goodness. That you will see it and you're going to experience it, not just in the sweet by and by, but here on earth now. Every day, in ordinary activities of your life, You can see the work of God. No matter what you're going through. And I know we are going through some difficult days. But no matter what we're going through, put your hope in God's goodness. And expect Him to move in your situation. As Billy led us in prayer, many of you were thinking, here's where I'm at. Here's my situation. I may not even know what to do about it. My brothers and sisters, trust in God's goodness and expect Him. It's going to happen. I believe that when we ask God for something, we get it. That's what He promised in His Word. We expect Him to move. We need to be brave and courageous. We need to let our hearts be stout and enduring. But wait for and hope for and expect the Lord where you live today. It is my belief that none of you is living in a place that's outside of God's will. Wherever you are, whatever's happening in your life, God wants to work right there. God wants to fill your life right there. Where is that? In the land of the living. It's where our life in Christ begins. You see, when we receive Christ as our Lord and Savior, that begins this full life, this abundant life, this overflowing life. And then it continues on into eternity. But it starts now. It's with us now. I know you've probably heard this before. I like repeating it because it blesses me. When we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are saved. Born again. And then as we live through this life, we are being saved daily. And then when we step over into heaven, we're going to be saved for all eternity. Saved, saved, saved. I expect you, Lord, to live out your glorious life in me. In 2 Corinthians 12:9 passage we looked at earlier, we see this verse, which we have heard many times. Paul repeats what he hears from the Lord. It says, My grace is all you need. Now, all my adult life, probably all of your adult life, you've heard the definition of grace. I've always heard that grace means unmerited favor. Unmerited favor. Unearned favor. Then a few years ago, I was having just some quiet time with the Lord, and I felt like I think I even read this verse, but I heard the Lord. I mean, you know, it's kind of in your heart. I just heard the Lord saying, Larry, when are you going to get this right? What? Lord. I've heard it dozens of times, Lord. Unearned favor. And that's when the Lord said, it is not unearned favor. It is unlimited favor for your life. My brothers and sisters, the grace of God, unlimited favor is yours. You see, it's not just all we need, it's more than we need. Some years ago, I preached a message on prayer, and as I was reading and preparing for that, I felt the Lord saying, Larry, if you will pray believing, I will over answer your prayers. Maybe you've heard that before. I hope you have. But that's a truth that we need to hang on to, that God over answers prayer, that it's not about just getting what we need. It's about getting more than we need, because our God is that gracious. God is that giving. God is that loving. Jesus is helping us to grow, even in our weakness. I believe that even when we pray weak prayers, the Lord speaks to our hearts and will say, I know what you mean, and I'll give you more than that. Why? Because it is the Lord's way. It is the Lord's way. When we are at our worst, Jesus is at His best. Even in times of trouble, Jesus is showing us a better way to live in Him. In the Galatians passage, we see the fruit of the Spirit. And those are the things that bring fullness to our lives. Those things that bring complete satisfaction. When we look at this verse, it says that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. My brothers and sisters, I believe that the Spirit of God will bring to every believer all those things, not just one or two. You get it all. Hallelujah. You get it all. And it makes life complete, completely satisfying. And all of this is a part of our relationship with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, beginning in the land of the living. We have come today to praise the Lord, to worship the Lord. That is right. That's what we should be doing. We've come, though, to draw near to the Lord. What does the Scripture say? If we draw near to God, God draws near to us. That's available to everyone in this room. God draws us close to Himself. So here's what I suggest for you. That you go home with more than you came with. Allow the Lord to overflow in your life. Allow His greatness to be yours. Wait for, hope for, expect. Expect the goodness of the Lord. Now, I want to tell you a story. I have a 2.5-year-old grandson, and his name is Jason. I love Jason with all my heart. But when he gets in trouble, when he gets a little anxious, his mother has discovered a way to help him. And what Taylor says, she will say to him, and I've heard his daddy say it too, to just say, Jason, take a lap. And whether he's in the house or whether he's in the backyard, he runs around. But here's the thing. Jason did not hear the phrase correctly. Taylor and Brandon were saying, Jason, take a lap. L-A-P. What Jason heard was, take a laugh. So Jason runs around the house or the backyard, and then he stops. He throws his head back, and he says, ha, 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 ha. Take a laugh. Take a laugh. My brothers and sisters, I encourage you today to take a laugh and praise the Lord in the land of the living and enjoy all that the Lord has for you. Let's pray. Father, we love you and we know that you love us. And Lord, I know we're not even about to get all that you have for us in this life. But I just ask you to forgive us for not getting to your heart sooner. But Father, do for us what you've done for others. And we ask for your goodness to overwhelm us. In the name of Christ Jesus. Amen.
Let's stand as we close this morning. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. That kind of stuck with me. Take a laugh. You hear me say it all the time, that the joy of the Lord is our strength, that we should be a joyful people. I call it the opposite of that is freeze-dried Christians, Larry. Don't be a freeze-dried Christian. Go and give it a laugh and go and tell someone. We're dismissed. God bless you. This is my story. Hi, this is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wylie United Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. I want to remind you that you have a Savior. His name is Jesus, and He loves you. I also would like to, if you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to invite you to pray this simple prayer with me. Father, I recognize that I'm a sinner. I confess it. I repent of my sin, and I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. I ask you to wash me as white as snow. In the name of Jesus, amen. If you prayed that prayer maybe for the first time today, I want to invite you to do four things. First of all, to share that decision you've made with a member of the clergy. Don't try to walk this journey alone. And then secondly, I invite you to be baptized. Jesus Himself commanded us that we should celebrate our faith through baptism. And then I invite you to get into God's Word. A book of John is a great place to start. And not because somehow reading the Bible makes us a good person, but because there's life in God's Word. It's His inspired, holy Word. And then finally, I invite you to find a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church to be a part of. If you have any questions at all, I just want you to know that I'm available. You can contact me at my email, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.